Chapter 3. Now, since I announced that I would also give full details of the furnishings, I will now do so. For the finished objects were wrought with exceptional artistry. The king made a generous contribution and oversaw the artisans in each case. For this reason, they could not neglect any part of the work or finish it off thoughtlessly. Now first, I will describe the details of the table. Therefore, indeed, the king's main plan was to make the furnishing an object outstanding in its measurements. Now he ordered inquiries to be made of those of the region concerning the size of the previous one set up in the temple at Jerusalem. Now, when they gave him the measurements, he asked a further question, whether he should make it larger. Therefore, indeed, some of the priests and the others said that there was nothing to prevent this. But the king spoke that he was even quite willing to make it even 5 times as large in size. But he hesitated in case it proved to be useless for the duties. For he said that he desired that his gifts should not be merely placed in that region, but would be much more pleased if the appointed men on duty fittingly performed the appropriate rites upon the furnishings he had provided. For lack of gold was not the reason why he had made the measurements of the previously completed offerings small. Instead, he spoke,
"It is plain that there was some reason why they were so constituted with its dimensions. Had the order been given, nothing would have been lacking. But for this reason, we must not transgress nor overstep what is right and proper."
Therefore, he indeed directed that the fullest use should be made of the variety of the arts, his intentions being solemn in every respect, and having naturally a good eye for appreciating how things will look when finished. But in cases of unspecified items, he directed that they should make them with an eye to their beauty, not expense. But in cases of specified items, measurements should be carried out to the letter. For their finished work was 2 cubits in length, but 1 cubit in width, but 1.5 in height. They made it solid all over with genuine solid gold. Now what I am describing is not merely an outer covering of gold, but the whole structure was of massive gold welded together. Now they made the crown a palm's radius in size, but the moldings twined with coiled work in low relief. The relief work marvelously executed on the 3 sides, for it formed a triangle. And on each side, the shape of the workmanship was identical in arrangement, so that whichever side was turned, the appearance was identical. But when one side of the crown was placed downward, indeed, the slope downward to the surface of the table kept its beautiful shape, while the outer slope was facing the view of anyone approaching it. For this reason, The prominence of the two sloping sides stood out sharply, being raised high as we have said, and of triangular construction, whichever side it was turned. There were also arrangements of precious stones on it, between the patterns of lines. Each interweaved the other, unsurpassed in craftsmanship. But they were all fastened through holes with golden pins for its safety. But at the corners, the clasps closed to keep them together. Now on the molding around the part of the table which slanted upwards to meet the eyes, an ovate pattern had been fashioned, set with precious stones, elaborately engraved, with uninterrupted striped reliefs, closely connected with each other around the entire table. Now beneath the relief of the stones, which made the aforesaid ovate border, the artisans made a crown adorned with all sorts of fruit, preeminently conspicuous with grapes and ears of corn, but even dates and apples, both olives and pomegranates, and the like. Now this was how they fashioned the stones in the shape of the previously mentioned fruits, in the color appropriate to each type, and then attached them with the golden band around the whole design of the table in profile. Now after the disposition of the crown, a similar arrangement had been designed to match the scheme of the border, and likewise the rest of the fluting and engraving, because the table had been made to be used on both sides, whichever side the owners began, so that the position of the moldings and of the crown matched the side where the feet were. For they made a solid metal plate over the whole breadth of the table, 4 fingers deep, so that the feet might be inserted into it. For the feet had fasteners with holes for attaching under the crown. This was to ensure that the table might be used no matter which side people preferred. Now this is seen plainly on the outside, the construction being visible on both sides. Now on the actual table, they made an intricate pattern in relief, with very costly stones in profusion in the middle, consisting of both rubies and emeralds. But even onyx and other kinds of stones conspicuous for their elegance. Now after the arrangement of this winding pattern, there was superimposed a marvelously contrived web with interstices, which made the central view of the table rhomboid in shape. On it, a stone of crystal and what is called amber was put in relief, providing the viewers with a sight beyond compare. Now they made the feet of the table with the capitals adorned with lilies. The lilies bending back underneath the table. But the inside parts which were visible, they made with an upright covering of gold leaves. Now the base of the foot on the ground was adorned with a stone, measuring a hand's width on every side. It had the appearance of a boot at the front, but was 8 fingers wide. on it was placed all the stress of the foot. Now, they made an ivy cluster sprouting out of the stone, entwined in acanthus, and surrounded the foot with a vine, which encircled it with clusters of grapes, all fashioned out of stone, as far as the head of the foot. Now the same pattern was applied to the 4 feet. Everything was effectively contrived and introduced, uniformly showing the preeminence of experience in art, with the emphasis on realism, so that even when the air was stirred by a breath of wind, movement was imparted to the leaves. Everything was modeled for realistic representation. Now they made the mouth of the table threefold, of 3 layers as it were, each layer fitted to the other with dovetailing joints through the thickness of the piece of furniture. They made the joints so closely fitting as to be invisible and incapable of detection. But the thickness of the whole table was not less than 1/2 cubit, so that the whole piece weighed many talents. For since the king had decided not to increase its dimensions, he instead used that expenditure, which would have been required for increasing the dimensions, on the table's details. And so, in accordance with his purpose, every detail was completed in a marvelous and noteworthy way, and it was unparalleled in its artistry and in its distinguished beauty. Now, 2 of the cups were indeed made of solid gold. From the base to the center was an overlapping design in relief, and with the stones artistically joined together in the middle of the coils. Next was superimposed a winding pattern 1 cubit high, but it was incorporated into the design by an intricate work in precious stones, which exhibited the meticulous art combined with elegance. But on it was fluting intermingled with circular patterns, giving a mesh-like appearance as far as the mouth. Now on the central part, small round shields of stones, one group close to another, and of varied types, not less than 4 fingers in size, complemented the conspicuous beauty of the whole. Now the brim of the mouth was wreathed with shapes of flowering lilies and interwoven clusters of grapes. Therefore, this was indeed the construction of the golden cups, which held more than 2 large measures. But the composition of the silver ones was smooth, being a reflector marvelously adapted for this very effect, so that everything brought near it flashed more clearly than in mirrors. But it is not possible to relate the additional details added to give the impression of realism. For when it was finished, and the pieces were put out one upon another, now, that is to say, a silver cup first, then a gold, then another silver and another gold, the overall effect of the sight was entirely beyond description. and even those who approached to view it, were unable to tear themselves away from its brilliance and its delightful appearance. For the living craftsmanship of the work, now made visible, was subtly diverse. For as men looked at the golden furnishing, their souls were thrilled, coupled with awed amazement, as their thought concentrated on each artifice in turn. And again, when anyone wanted to gaze at the arrangement of the silver, everything reflected all around, no matter where one stood, and caused even greater amazement among the spectators, so that the manifold artistry of the masterpieces was absolutely indescribable. Now, they engraved the golden bowls with crowns of grapes in the middle, but around the edges, they plated in relief a crown of both ivy and myrtle, but even olive, into which they inserted precious stones. And of the remaining carvings, each artisan wrought in a different pattern, making it a love of honor to complete everything in a way worthy of the king's majesty. For there was absolutely no furnishing comparable in extravagance in artistry, either in the royal treasuries or in any other. For the king took no small interest in the work, because of his love of glory in the beauty of his designs. For many times he laid aside the public audiences, but sat attentively among the artisans, in order that they might complete the work in a manner consistent with the region to where the work was to be sent off. For this reason, everything was done in solemnity, and in a manner worthy both of the king who sent off the gifts and of the chief priest who presided over the region. For even the large quantity of the stones was without limit, and they were great in size, not less than 5,000 in number. And everything was excellent in artistry, so that the gifts of the stones and the actual artistic work was worth 5 times more than the gold. Therefore, I assumed that even the description of these details was necessary, so I have narrated it to you.